Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a Dominican friar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today with my fellow friars, Father Stephen Alcott and Father Stephen Dominic Hayes. Let us start with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God,
pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
So today we're going to talk about the cross. It's at the center of Christianity. In every Christian home, there should be a cross on the wall. In every church, there's going to be a crucifix, a cross with the corpus, the body of Christ on it. In any Christian setting, you're going to see the cross. So why? Why is there the cross? Why is it at the center? What is it about the cross that's so important? Father Stephen Dominic, you want to start us off?
Sure. I would say, let me put this this way. For me, the cross is where all of the universe's purpose and meaning comes to perfection and fullness. So in one sense, everything in the universe is aimed towards, everything before it, everything after it, is aimed towards having its meaning and purpose clarified, enlightened, centralized around what our Lord Jesus Christ did that day on Calvary.
Mm-hmm. So it's the center of everything.
It's the center of everything. I would even say, for instance, at one point in my life, for instance, I believed that our Lord used the bread of the Passover as an apt sign to what he wanted to do for the cross. But I'm thinking now that from the beginning, God has shaped bread to be something that reveals something about what Christ has done from the cross. It's much deeper. Everything is suffused with meaning. For human beings who are body, spirit, soul, and spirit, there is going to be a bodily component to all reality. There'll be a psychological, emotional, spirit, and the psychic one. And then there's the spiritual one of meaning and purpose. And all reality has a content in this regard from the mind of God.
So it's the center of everything.
Center of everything.
Why?
Because this is where heaven is joined to earth. This is where peace is made between earth and heaven. The royal road of the cross is the tree of everlasting life that stretches between heaven and earth. It is the beginning to raise to the skies of the first clay of the New Jerusalem. I mean, how many more of these similes would you like me to do? Because I've got a whole barrel of them.
Well, we have 27 minutes left, so I'm
there. You go.
I agree, of course, that the cross is the center, and for me, it helps to understand what the cross is doing in respect of, you know, the context, because the very beginning of Genesis, the very beginning of Genesis, you have the fall of Adam and Eve. Right after the creation accounts, you have the fall, and you have this great catastrophe at the beginning of humanity with our first parents, Adam and Eve. And the cross is undoing everything Adam and Eve had done and fulfilling all the promises and hopes that God had for humanity. So at the very beginning, the cross both fixes all the things that are bad that we have brought about and our parents have brought about and lifts us up to where God always wants us to be. And so it's the fulfillment of everything. And it's, to me, understandable in terms of both fixing and raising.
It's also about the gift of grace, the tides of grace that flow from the side of Christ upon the cross. You know, when Moses was leading the people out of Egypt, you know, he stretched that staff that had turned into a serpent, a living thing, an image of our original temptation before over the waters, and they split that the people might pass through them out of slavery to a new relationship with God. And the shadow of the cross does the same thing over the waters of baptism. Mm-hmm. You know, is the power of the cross that gives the water of baptism its power. It was Christ beginning embracing his cross from the moment he asked John to help him begin that journey that enables that sacrament to be the labor of regeneration, you know. Mm-hmm. This is true for all the sacraments I see.
Mm-hmm. That idea of the cross is restoring what had been broken by Adam and Eve, I mean, that raises interesting questions about why did Christ have to die to repair what Adam and Eve had broken? I mean, couldn't God have just forgiven everyone, said, all right, that's all right, everyone, you're forgiven?
St. Thomas, I think, at one point says that Christ could have given a sermon, and at that word, the world could have been healed. That might have been sufficient. Mm-hmm. But it was insufficient probably for us. We had to see what extreme love looks like before he could get our attention, because mm-hmm. we're really good at ignoring God or putting God in a mental box or mm-hmm. turning away.
And the symmetry of it is fitting that Adam and Eve fell at the tree, and then on the tree of the cross mm-hmm. were restored, where Adam and Eve disobeyed God, Christ unto death was obedient to God the Father. Mm-hmm. You know, that symmetry is there with the cross, and where Christ pays the debt and justice we owe and brings us mercy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, mm-hmm. part of the Dominican tradition is that we are contemplatives who, from the fruit of our contemplation, preach. And Father Stephen has been contemplating on the side of the studio here. would you like to share the fruits of that with our audience?
Sure, actually. I was thinking about what you were saying, Father Boniface, about Adam and Eve, our first parents, their fall, and how Christ restores, you know, our entry into paradise. And it occurred to me, you know, what if, this has been brought up, of course, by many Christians throughout the ages, you know, what would life have been like if Adam and Eve had been faithful to God, if they'd rejected the temptations of Satan, and if they affirmed their love for him? You know, it's occurred to me that, like, you know, the crucifix would not have any meaning. There would be, you know, no crucifix. There'd be no reason for Christ to come and die. Instead, maybe we would just have a tree, you yeah. know? The tree of life was what was offered, you know, to Adam and Eve, you know, so that they might share the eternal life of God. And of course, that tree was closed to them when they turned away from God. So, you know, it might not have been a cross, but it still would have been a tree. So perhaps it's fitting that, you know, the crucifix is another kind of tree in a different mm-hmm. form that originally had a horrific meaning, very practical and horrific meaning, and now has a meaning that is perhaps even more beautiful than if we just had a tree of life on our wall, you know, mm-hmm. Because this tree has not simply fruit, you know, it's created by God. It has the uncreated, you know, Son of God himself.
This is where we get into the mysterious will of God sometimes. Why this? I once had a woman complain about the cross. You know, she says, you know, if God is in control of everything and he sent his son, I mean, what kind of father does that to, lets that happen to his son? You know, mm-hmm. and I thought about that for a minute, and I said, well, I said, God didn't come up with crucifixion. We did. Mm-hmm. It's how we made each other's lives so horrific that we would get some of us able to, you know, draw water and cut wood and chip stone for the benefit of other people's lives, you know, so that we could have slavery, so we could have a conquered class. You know, we had people who would wait on us hand and foot, because if they didn't, we would not just kill them. We would kill them slowly and horribly in the most painful way human imagination could devise. You know, and we would want them to even to prefer a swift death to that death. Mm-hmm. And we came up with this. And the Father permitted it to happen to his only beloved Son. You know, I mean, if this is what it takes to make peace, if this is what it is to break the power of pride and sin and death, then the Father and Jesus, who loves his Father's will, offers himself as that sacrifice. You know, I mean, the deeper I look at it, the more I see in it.
Yeah. At the Easter Vigil, we have the great hymn, the Exultet, you know, about mainly the Paschal candle, but it is part of the hymn. It speaks about the felix culpa, the happy fault, the sin of Adam by which a savior was won for us. That we dare to say that that sin, which unleashed so much evil, actually became incorporated into God's providence in such a profound way, you know, that looking at a crucifix on your wall or in your church is something that is even more profoundly beautiful, you know, than the most beautiful tree that you could have. And it's because of that, because God could not be overcome by the worst that humanity could devise, but rather incorporated that into a far more deeper expression of his eternal love.
You're listening to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a Dominican friar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today with my fellow friars, Father Stephen Alcott and Father Stephen Dominic Hayes. And we've been discussing the cross, the center of all Christianity, the place of our redemption, the undoing of Adam and Eve. And one thing I've been thinking about in this discussion is we've been talking about Adam and Eve versus Christ. In Scripture, throughout it, a frequent theme is the two paths, two ways. And really the most important life, or the most important decision we make in our lives, at the center of our lives, is to accept the cross or not. Because we either follow in the way of Adam and Eve, or we follow in the way of Christ. We decide which example we're gonna imitate in our own lives. And so the cross, if we place it at the center of our lives, then we can imitate Christ through his grace and his resurrection. And if we follow Adam and Eve in the way of their lives, it will lead somewhere else. And so that really, the cross is not just the center of the world and human history, but it ought to be the center of our lives as well.
Mm-hmm. Adam and Eve chose a poison tree. This tree of the cross is something that gives life paradoxically. I think sometimes we, in thinking about the cross, you know, it helps to set yourself in the first century and see what other people saw. Like when Jesus says, take up your cross, you know, when people took up the cross in his day, that was the day they began dying. And that's what that really means for us, you know, to pick up your cross daily is to start putting to death that old Adam. This is a tree that will kill your sins. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm sort of protective about my sins, you know, or wannabe, you know, how hard does life have to be? I mean, some of the saints do extraordinary penances. I mean, So far I have not yet imitated Rose of Lima by sleeping on a pile of broken brick and glass, which I think, you know, the brethren are sort of happy about,
depends when you ask us.
I see. But, you know, but this whole business about going forward, when you think of what Christ suffered, what it meant for him to embrace the cross, and then he invites us to begin to participate in it, you know? I mean, we're not going to do it perfectly. I've been telling a lot of people recently, you know, my perfection, your perfection, spiritual perfection, this is Jesus' problem. He's the one who has all the grace. He's the one who's trying to get us there. Right now, in this moment, all I have to be is adequate to the moment. Adequate is sufficient. I mean, I have to at least move towards my cross and be willing to, like, try to heft it a little bit, you know, start to move it forward and so forth. But, you know, if I can do it nobly and strongly and powerfully, wonderful. But, you know, it's going to take, this is a daily dying. And, you know, that's going to be hard to begin to take on.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was you, Father Bob, was speaking recently about in some martial arts, I don't know my martial arts, but I know some of them, you use your opponent's strength against him.
Aikido.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Like if someone rushes at you, you know.
Yes, you gracefully step to the side, you know, taking the risk. You redirect their energy from straight to circular, and then you hit him with the largest thing you can, which is usually the ground.
I think what you're getting at is something I say sometimes, a line I like. And I mm-hmm. do not know martial arts, so maybe Aikido would have been a better example. But I always say that what Christ did on the cross was the ultimate jujitsu move. Right.
Yes, judo.
And the reason why I say that is that what the world and what Satan understands is power, manipulation, mm-hmm. forcing people, like the ancient Roman slavery you spoke about, do what I want or we will kill you horribly, you know, force and manipulation. And so Satan, when he saw this, this Jewish person, Satan didn't know exactly who he was, but lots of people are following him and they're starting to follow God through him. That's bad news from Satan's perspective. And so thinking in terms of the fallen world, he goes, well, how am I going to deal with this? I'm going to crush him. I'm going to force him into a corner and destroy him. And from his perspective, the cross seemed like a victory. All but a few of his followers ran away. Even his closest apostles were denying him. He was dying a humiliating death. The crowds had turned against him. Everyone, from the Jews to the Gentiles and Romans, were going to kill this guy unjustly. Satan's probably thinking, aha, I've crushed it. I've nipped this in the bud. Wonderful. And at the very moment where Satan thought that he was going to win his great victory, where Christ dies on the cross, Jesus had flipped everything on him, because in that very moment where Satan thought he was going to win, Christ won total victory over sin and death and all the devils, because in that he undid what Adam and Eve had done. He had undone the work of the serpent mm-hmm. in the garden of evil. And the reason he did it the way he did is because God doesn't work through manipulation and force. He works through love. And that's a force and a power the devil could not understand. And that's how we always fight our battles as Christians. It's not through the fallen tactics of the world, but mm-hmm. through the tactics of the cross.
And it's something we don't do alone. Mm-hmm. Even Jesus had his mother by his side at the cross. Mm-hmm. And I often think, you know, we think about Jesus being tempted. I think sometimes Mary must have been tempted as well, because she really lives by faith. I imagine the devil sometimes talking to her, whispering in her ear at the crucifixion, you know, where are this Gabriel's words now? Mm-hmm. Is this the son who's supposed to rule the nations? Is this one who's going to have the throne of his father David? Where is all your hope now? Mm-hmm. You know, and yet she persists in faith in this radical solitude. Not just that day, but the day after, between the cross and the resurrection of Easter, she persists. There's a wonderful devotion, originally Servites, but very popular. And in Oaxaca, in Mexico, we Dominicans are big servers of this too, and that's Our Lady of Solitude. Our Lady dressed as a queen, but in black, mourning for her son, the spirituality of Holy Saturday, when she is bereft and left alone, and yet still trusts that the word that was given to her will be kept.
So here's a question along that line. Is Christ had he was both fully human and fully God, and so he had a human free will, mm-hmm. and in that human free will, he willed the cross. And mm-hmm. then we're called to also will the cross in those moments so that we can be transformed into the saints to be like mm-hmm. Christ. And in those moments where we're like Mary on Holy Saturday, when everything seems lost, where God seems far away, where we're really facing the cross in the brutality of the world in a clear way, how do we will the cross? How do we unite ourselves with Christ in those dark moments of trials that come our way?
Yeah, I originally brought up that whole idea of the martial arts, jiu-jitsu or aikido, mm-hmm. Because in a way, every person faces that. Every Christian faces that. Mm-hmm. Mary faced that. You know, everyone has these things that come at them in their life. You know, whether it's, you know, a great tragedy or a failure or even just a real annoyance. You know, and it's in your day, or multiple ones that come at you like an avalanche. You know, you can let those on the one hand kind of pile up on you. You know, push you into a corner, make you want to escape. You know, they can, in a sense, end up manipulating you, if you will, you know, into the exact place you don't want to go. Or you can use the weight of those crosses, you know, in the right way and make them a means, you know, a happy fault, you know, a very little felix culpa, you know, that will help you. And I think that's what Mary does at the foot of the cross. Mm-hmm. You know, Mary's words to the angel Gabriel were, fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum, let it be done to me according to your word. You know, she accepted, knowing that in this acceptance she was making the best act of love and sacrifice that she could. And so in the cross, she didn't know fully, you know, why this is all happening. She didn't have all the answers, but she allowed this, instead of becoming something that would drive her to despair or anger or doubt, she allowed this to simply strengthen and reveal and kind of magnify her great trust, you know, in the Father and in her Son.
I think that's exactly right. And along with that, we were talking earlier about the cross as an act of justice as far as restoring the cosmic order, the man's fallenness, but it's also an example of mercy, and it's the ultimate form of God's mercy, because God took the worst thing that humanity ever did, putting God to death, and used it, transformed it into the moment of our salvation. And so that's the way God's mercy always works, as he enters those darkest moments of our lives. And he doesn't take the pain and suffering away, but he transforms it so that it becomes the means of our salvation. And so that's why Christ says, take up your cross, because it's through the cross that God's mercy works in our lives. We all know that just becoming Christian doesn't mean that you never have pain or suffering or difficulties or trials or hardships again. Those all persist. What changes is the meaning of suffering, that it's no longer just the blind malice of the world pressing in upon you. It's now the means of God's mercy to transform you into a child of God. And ultimately, the death itself is no longer a dead end, the final curtain call on the meaninglessness of life, but it's now the portal to our true homeland and life with God.
And I think this is something that's exercised moment to moment in the moment of grace that we're living in. I think you see this in our Blessed Lady. You know, moment to moment, she does the will of the Lord as the will of the Lord is declared to her. I know I sometimes ask Jesus what he wants me actually to do in the moment. But that's the way I think that you grapple with your own share of the cross. It's where you set aside fear, you set aside anger, resentment, and you do what you know the Lord wants you to do in the moment. You know, I mean, the question is, what does he want you to do? Mary had the angel. We have many ways by which his will is declared to us moment to moment. But I do think that's how we ourselves grapple with our brokenness, our sin, our weakness, how we follow Christ. You know, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. And keep that battle focus we see in him as he, moment by moment, lives that cross. I mean, he was on the cross for 3 hours as we measure time, but in terms of the intensity, the pain, I mean, what must it have been like to endure in that moment, that long, long moment of the cross?
Mm-hmm. Any final wisdom for those that are facing the cross right now?
I was thinking of, I mean, it's good to think of the depth of Christ's profound suffering on the cross. It's also good to think about our own suffering, even though it doesn't come close to comparing, it's still something that we can accept. I was thinking about St. Therese, who had the whole other end of that spectrum. Mm-hmm. You know, the smallest thing, you know, back to the jujitsu Aikido example, the smallest thing, you know, that comes at you can be a stepping stone, you mm-hmm. know, towards God, towards paradise, accepted with love, offered up to God, and you know, even if no one else sees it, no one else knows it, you know, and that I think is a great way to really live that sacrifice that Christ made for us.
I mean, it's a joyful thing too. I mean, I think you find an exaltation as, because we're not just in Good Friday. I mean, Good Friday, the other side of it is Easter and the glory of it. And as I said, you've got Mary in her solitude, but you also get Mary at the Pentecost, and it's the same Mary, it's the same life, as she moves from sorrow to joy in Jesus. And that's our road too.
I think that's a great note to end it on. Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimension. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a Dominican friar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I've been joined in the studio today with my fellow friars, Father Stephen Alcott and Father Stephen Dominic Hayes. And now let us end in our usual prayer to St. Dominic. O light of the Church, teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancti.